Well, hello. Welcome to Passive Wealth for High Tech Minds podcast. There are lots and lots of IT professionals who work in the industry. These IT jobs are so exhausting mentally, there isn't much time left for such folks to make clever decisions about their investments. Most are unable to put their money in the right asset classes. This is Prashant Kumar from iRealty Gains. I have worked in corporate America in IT and in business organizations for 25 years. My goal is to educate IT professionals like you about the benefits of passive investing. I will be passing my knowledge and will bring guests who have done very well in their careers and can explain the process and advantages of passive investing. So, let's begin. Well, hello, hello. This is Prashant Kumar from iRealty Gains. Today, you are listening yet another podcast, Passive Wealth for High Tech Minds. Today, I have a very different kind of guest, distinguished attorney, Mr. Day, Kevin Day. Thank you so much, sir, for joining. Welcome to the show.
Prashant Kumar, good to talk to you again. Thank you for having me on your program. I really appreciate it.
Mr. Day is one of the leading estate planning and international asset protection planning attorney in the United States. He has bachelor degree in Chinese studies. He holds MBA in international management and doctors of jurisprudence degree. He was a university academic administrator for 8 years, a law professor at the doctorate level, and a law school dean of students. I mean, this goes on and on. I can read it, but before going into private practice, he was a dean of students, at a law school. In addition to his legal expertise, Mr. Day brings his extensive business knowledge as an MBA in international business to his law practice. He has a lot of experience. He's well regarded speaker at business tax planning and investment conferences in United States, Canada, Mexico, United Kingdom, and Caribbean. He graciously accepted to appear on this podcast today with me. And the purpose of the podcast, even though is passive wealth for high tech minds, but he has some good ideas. He wants to talk, and I don't want to take the thunder away from him, but he wants to tell our listeners, even though we are investing, what are the legal things that could happen, which one should be mindful of? So, Mr. Day, appreciate you coming on board today on our podcast. You have a great resume, impressive resume. You have been speaker all over the world, Canada, Mexico, United Kingdom. And our listeners are primarily these high-tech people. As I said, they are, very consumed in their work, and they do not know what investing really is, right? I mean, they invest into stocks and bonds because that's what they have been told, and that's what their friends do, and they make money, and most of them end up losing money also. So the purpose of the podcast is to educate them how to make good investment decisions. Obviously, I am a syndicator. I would like to sell everything positive, but I would like, now that you are here, I would like to hear from you, your good thoughts. You have the floor today. You tell us what you have in mind.
Thank you very much, Prashant. Yes, my law firm, and we have about 28 people and growing, and we really work in the area of trusts and estates, but my department particularly is about lawsuit protection and privacy. And I like to be an educator. I don't like to be a salesman about my services. What I want to do is educate your listeners on what's out there and what they should be concerned with. And it's the less exciting part of investing is it's much more fun to find the next project and find a better return that has lower risk. And my job is to say, well, you also need to pay attention about not just making the money, but keeping the money. I think that I'm a good candidate for not only my expertise, because I've written a few books on offshore asset protection trust, domestic asset protection trusts on privacy, but I'm an investor myself. And like many, and your listeners in the high tech field are professionals just like myself, and we make good money. I happen to also own my own business. My wife is a W-2 executive, and all of a sudden we had more money than we needed to live on. And what do you do with that disposable income? And what I saw with all of my clients, whether they were business owners or high paid employees, the ones that really had incredible cash flow and wealth were invested in real estate. So I, had regular mutual funds, and I'm ticking along. But then all of a sudden, after all our creature comforts were taken care of, we started to, because we're savers, we ended up having a good amount of money, and we've got to do real estate. So we initially did single family residences. We had to have a manager because I work not only in my job, but running a law firm. And my wife, head of a charity, had her hands full. But we enjoyed finding real property. We enjoyed working with the subcontractors to put new granite in the kitchen and things like that. And we found a good manager because we didn't like managing it. But after we got 7 or 8 homes, we just realized we couldn't spend that much time. And so the answer was to invest in other people's projects. And we're glad that we have our homes. They're good cash flow. But it just got to the point where working with syndicators like yourself was the right answer.
Awesome, awesome. So basically, even though you have your own law firm, you started investing into single family homes first, and then you started to realize that it is too much work, obviously, to go into each single family home. And it's sort of an active investment. You know, you buy one property, it takes 3 months, and so on and so forth. Yeah. growth is there, but it is not something that, worth probably your time and energy, I would say.
Energy to put forward into them is just with everything else that we had going on wasn't a good formula.
So let's talk about a little bit about when you went into multifamily. What are the legal things? I mean, we all know, obviously you have heard the podcast, we all know the benefits of passive investing. Mm-hmm. So let's not go too much into detail of that. I would like to hear the legal side of what you can share with the listeners. What should they look for? What are the things? What are the gotcha things? What are the lookout things? They should pay attention to these deals.
The biggest thing is for people to know the U.S. market. There's wonderful opportunity here, but we also have 94% of the world's lawsuits. So everybody will go to either a corporate lawyer, real estate lawyer, or an estate planning lawyer and say, I want lawsuit protection. And they'll say, oh, how many assets do you have? Okay, you need 7 LLCs. Period. That's the answer. And there is wisdom in putting eggs in different baskets, but the presumption with that being the most you can do presumes that, yes, you'll lose the eggs in a particular basket. And we have many different strategies, but a very important one that I think relates to real estate investors is to create, we call it a privacy company, but effectively it's your family's own private bank. And so what we do is put your wealth into let's call it Golden Mountain Lending or Golden Mountain Funding. And then that not yourself, not your person, but that company puts the investment into the various investments. And we do it in a way that allows us to put liens against your investment. So not a lien to Bank of America, a lien to your own family's bank, in this case, Golden Mountain Funding. And that what that tells a litigator, if litigation occurs, is that there's a senior creditor. And if I have a judgment against you and Bank of America is on first, I can't go. I can go, but they're going to tell me to take a hike. Hey, Bank of America, take your lien off because I just got this judgment and I want to foreclose on the property. They're going to say, no, we get every dime. We're a secured creditor. You're behind us. And in our legal system, it's first in time to the public record is first in legal right to every penny if you're a secured creditor. So we put friendly liens against your own investments. And that changes the whole trajectory of how lawsuits perform.
And how do these friendly liens protect the passive investments that you and I would do in somebody else's syndication?
Yes. So against my single family residences, ours technically are free and clear. So we had the first mortgage, but the typical scenario, because I'm so busy, I should be sucking my equity out of that and buying 10 more homes, right? But I don't have time. So putting a senior lien against what you do have title to, but as a passive investor, you might have a relationship that you could do that and not infringe on anybody else's investment. But what we would typically do is put a UCC-1 in the public record, and that's called a Uniform Commercial Code lien. So there's only two types of liens. Those liens against real property, which are either called deeds of trust or mortgages, and then everything else you own, accounts receivable, your cars, passive investments, we can put UCC-1s against that. So we create a senior lien and don't really have to infringe on the syndicator or the person that you're investing with.
So basically, what you are saying is, yes, you are investing your money with a syndicator, but there is definitely a good idea that you create this Golden Mountain company, which should create this UCC-1 lien against all the assets that you own, which are free and clear, because any other investments also for that matter.
Yes, even partial investments as a second or third lien. Are what people don't stop to think, and lawyers, it's just not information that's out there, is that only less than 1% of cases go all the way to trial. So it's your public image that decides whether a case is even going to move forward. And if it does it settle early for very small amounts, or does it wait to the very 11th hour because they're hoping to get an extra $1 million on the table in settlement? And contingency fee attorneys, if they are suing, they look at whether there's any senior liens. They're not crusaders. They are in it as a business partner with the person that has the claim. And so they look at that and they say, hey, normally I would make $8 million on the same fact scenario, but there's lots of assets out there, but there seems to be, they've been living, the American dream. They've extended, their credit is extended too far, and there's senior creditors. I'm not going to take the case. An hourly person will take the $5,000 from the client and do the same research, but on the client's dime, and then come up with the same answer. Oh, You know, there's a lot of investments. Their name is in a bunch of places, but there's all these senior creditors. So we better take insurance limits, or we better take what we can squeeze out of this. They are going to encourage, they're going to pound their chest in front of you, but behind the scenes, they're telling their client, take this piddly amount because we're trying to squeeze blood from a turnip. For a litigator to run an entire case and get $100,000 or $150,000 from a client and say, here's your piece of paper, and oh, by the way, there's all these creditors, that's a formula for a malpractice case. And so having these senior liens in the public record, we've been doing this from the very early 90s, and we've had our clients that have faced serious matters, and we've never had a structure busted. Most litigators don't know, most lawyers in any area really don't know our area. Asset protection, lawsuit protection is kind of an esoteric area. So it blindsides these litigators, and those that have found out about it don't know enough about it, and they still settle on pennies on the dollar.
Interesting, very interesting. And would you mind, Mr. Day, to talk a little bit about the trust, how trusts are, different. And again, pardon my ignorance, but I wanted that to be, useful information for the listeners, how trusts are different than these senior liens. What are the different components of these?
Yes. So all the business entities that all your listeners are used to, the corporations, LLCs, and limited partnerships, are considered separate legal people under the law. You have to treat your own company as if Kevin Day owns it. If you are an employee of your own company, you need to sign both as the employee that you're accepting the deal that you've negotiated with yourself as president or manager. The corporations code and the IRS code says that you have to work with these entities as if they were third party owners. But they have to have an owner. They have to have a shareholder or a member. So in our legal system, there's only two ultimate owners, a flesh and blood human. Nobody owns you, and nobody owns a lawsuit proof trust. It is an ultimate owner. Nobody owns it. You'll have a beneficial interest in it, and that's what you want, is that's the good end of the stick. But a corp can be owned by an LLC that's owned by an LP that's owned by a corp. It will not end until it hits you, or a lawsuit proof trust. So, to get real lawsuit protection, you do not want to be the technical owner. Humans, we drive cars. We have a woman client that just came to us recently, and she hit a pedestrian. There was a very large claim. She has two apartment buildings. And so it wasn't a faulty smoke detector or something, somebody getting electrocuted. And these are actually two cases that we had in the last 4 years against our clients. And luckily we had senior liens. So even the building that harmed them wasn't able to be taken away. This is coming in the back door. She had this car accident, and they're saying, okay, what do you own? She actually doesn't own real property. She owns LLCs that own the real property. So they come through the back door down the ownership chain. And this is where lawsuit proof trusts come in, where under penalty of perjury, list everything you own. She doesn't have to list those companies that are in her estate, but are technically owned by a lawsuit proof trust, which she's the full beneficiary of. So she gets all the income. She can buy and sell the properties when she wants to, so forth. So passive investment is like cash. It's or like a portfolio. It just happens to be in real estate. And you don't want some incident happening to you personally and them coming and ultimately saying, oh, do you have any investments in other people? Do you have any notes payable to you? Any of those things. You want to be able to say, no, I own my home and car. And as you can see, I'm up to my eyeballs in hock. There's nothing to take.
So along with that, so what you are really saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, if I heard it wrong, you are saying is that along with the trust, and these senior liens, you can potentially protect yourself in all the possible scenarios where any legal lawsuit that could come towards you because of the senior lien, you can protect your assets, and obviously because of the trust. You could still maintain the privacy and protect your assets.
Yes. Those are two different strategies, but working together exactly as you outlined means that we have protected you and your assets from internal liability, those things inside any companies, but also for anything that might befall you personally. So from internal liability as well as from external liability. And what we do, we don't want to rely on secrets. The way I define secrets is that if we told a judge or the adverse party what we did, all of a sudden it unravels and they can get to it. We want privacy, not secrecy. We want privacy because, as I said, 80% of the time, adverse parties don't see the structuring we've done in the liens related to our client. But in the 20%, I should be able to go before a judge and say, this is what we did, and this is exactly when we did it. They hadn't harmed anybody yet. The only way to unravel a lawsuit-proof trust is to allege and prove fraudulent conveyance. They had to have had already harmed someone. And we did this a year and a half ago. It's impossible to unwind this now. So we don't want to rely on secrets. Privacy is good, but I should not be embarrassed to tell a judge the work we've done.
Awesome. So these are great. I mean, these are great tips. I know a lot of listeners. I mean, I must say, even I do not know too much about UCC liens. I have a trust and, things like that. How should basically, number one, W-2 earners, number two, businessmen, small business owners take advantage of these things, and what are the process? How much does it cost to them? How often should they be involved with, companies such as yourself, law firms such as yourself? Please share some more thoughts into how how can everybody be benefited by these things?
Yes. Offshore trusts aren't inexpensive, so you really want to have an estate that's $4 million or above to really, that's where we've seen our clients decide, no, all our creature comforts are taken care of. Now we have money that's pushing the ball for us instead of us actually having to push the ball to make some money. And if something really horrible happened, we want to make sure what we have is protected. And under the U.S. signed the Hague Convention on Trusts, which allows a U.S. person or investor to use a trust law of other countries that's very different than here in the United States. And the most important thing, under U.S. law, it removes U.S. court authority over that trust. So if somebody wants to sue, they have to sue in the Isle of Man or Cook Islands or Montserrat, wherever we put up the trust. And there's slight differences in the laws of why we would choose one jurisdiction over another. There are U.S. domestic copycat laws. Obviously, they're still within our court system, but they are a lot less expensive. We get down to... And they're about $10,000 to give you a real number on that capstone to create an ultimate owner that you have legal deniability under penalty of perjury. You do not have to list, in our example, Golden Mountain Funding, even to a direct question, do you own Golden Mountain funding, you can say no. But an underlying company, a Nevada company, let's say a Wyoming company, is only $1,800. And your name isn't in the public record. The owner isn't listed. And we can, for very reasonable, you know, cost, create a company that can act as your family's piggy bank. We do have a service. We do what's called a roadmap. It's $500, and it really just covers the cost of creating the structures and some diagrams and having several educational conversations with the client. And we take a snapshot of what they have right now and how it's held. And then ultimately, if money is no object, what's the perfect plan? And then what's an intermediate plan to build there? Because many of your listeners will say, no, I'm a business owner and I already have some real estate and I have some passive investing and I have employees. I need all the way up to an irrevocable trust, whether it's offshore or domestic. Others are saying, you know, I have a good enough estate, but I don't have employees and I'm passive investors. I need something to build into. And so I see the wisdom of an underlying company, but I don't want to budget for a lawsuit-proof trust yet. I'm going to rely on the privacy and the image I have in the public record. So we can do all kinds of different steps for the client's needs.
And typically, you know, for a person like me, I'm just talking about myself. Yes. Or people, or the listeners, you know, those who have no idea. I mean, I have trust, but there are a lot of, you know, like 95%, as you said, more than 90% of your clients probably don't even have them to begin with. Typically, how long is the process? You know, if somebody has to start from this roadmap to the ultimate destination, somebody in a net worth of approximately, let's say, $5 to $10 million net worth, typical, what is the roadmap for them? How do they, you know, kind of make themselves foolproof?
Yes. If we had a questionnaire on our desk today, it takes us probably about 2 weeks to create the entities and to draft the trust, presuming we got all the information that we need from the client. So certainly by 3 weeks, all of that is wrapped up. Now, the equity stripping strategy probably takes another week. So we're creating the trust and the privacy company, the private, you know, piggy bank equity stripping company, looks like a hard money lender. And it needs to be alive, obviously, before it can put liens on assets. So doing those transfers and putting those liens will take another week. So certainly by 4 weeks, everything should be wrapped up. We can accelerate that if somebody has a particular project. They say, I'm opening up a new business. I haven't hired or paid any employees yet, or my service isn't in the public record, but I want to open, you know, in 2.5 weeks. We'll scurry to make sure it happens.
And typically, you know, what is the cost for them for doing all this?
A comprehensive plan with an offshore trust is going to be about $37,000. The offshore trust is going to be $30,000. The rest is really the underlying companies. And because it's all done in a package, we've carved off costs of other parts. A domestic version is going to be about $16,000, and that's with the trust. As I said, the privacy company itself is only $18,000. If we're doing the equity stripping, that package by itself, it's reduced if we're doing the whole thing, but by itself is $6,900. A lot of real estate people, active, not passive, they say, oh, I know what a promissory note looks like, and I can do a second deed of trust and do all those things myself. Then, it's just a couple thousand dollars for us to form a company and give some advice, $2,000. Even people that are very experienced say, no, I need to stick to my knitting. I'll write you a check for the $6,900 on top of the $1,800 just to have your office handle everything.
So all in all, what I'm hearing is it is much less than $50,000, even if you have to create an offshore trust, if there is a need for one, and if it is probably less than $25,000 to $30,000, if you are within the United States, you are creating a trust and all the companies and everything.
Yeah, a very sophisticated and complex structure is going to be offshore is going to be about $37,000, and it's going to be less than $17,000 for a comprehensive but domestic trust.
Domestic. Okay. So my question is, we are just probably running out of time. My question is, for a W-2 earner, somebody who is in the W-2 environment, he's earning and his wife is earning, how much is the need for this complex structure, trust as well as in addition to UCC, equity stripping company? And what is the need for normal American, couple versus, some real estate tycoon or, small business owner? What do you suggest? Who all should have it and who should probably live without it?
Yeah. If you're a passive investor and your entire estate net worth is $2 million or below, you probably want a holding company, but not put the lawsuit protection trust in as a passive investor. We have people that, even a little coffee cart, in a small estate, let's call it $2 million, they can't buy enough insurance for one bad, E. coli incident on their coffee cart. So is it worth investing $10,000 to make sure their home and their little bit of savings, they're just earning enough money to care for things? Is that worthwhile? Because you can't buy enough insurance. And if anybody's made a claim, your insurance company immediately becomes adverse to you. And so somebody under $2 million, if they have an active business, they have employees or they have a product or service, the domestic version is appropriate. $4 million and above, they should certainly get well educated on the offshore trust and its powers. We have a white paper, an educational paper that we'll be glad to send out to your listeners at no charge. They can just email me and put in the subject line, white paper, please. No frills. We'll get them some education. We also have a white paper on the domestic trust. But even if you're passive and at $4 million, as I said, we've found that at about 3.5 million people have, all their creature comforts are taken care of. They've upgraded their home. They have a better car. And now they still all of a sudden still have money. And that's when they start to do passive investments. And that formula, you want a lawsuit protect from your own liability, even though you don't have employees, even though you don't have machines that might harm somebody out in the workplace.
Awesome. Mr. Day, thank you so much. I appreciate the wisdom that you have shared with our listeners. I just know it that 99% of at least immigrants do not know anything about trusts and equity stripping piece. And I'm pretty sure a lot of, those our listeners would listen to it and they will call me and I'm going to probably send them to your way because, that's the nature, right? People, instead of calling the guest, they call me directly.
And yeah, then, you're the man. Absolutely.
So, I appreciate it very much. And, how can anybody reach out to you?
Yes. My email address is Kevin, K-E-V-I-N, at trespday.com. That's T-R-E-S-P, as in Peter, D-A-Y.com. Elizabeth Tresp is my partner. And our phone number is 858-755-6672. 858-755-6672. Ask for that white paper. We have educational items on the offshore, the domestic, and on the equity stripping as well that we can send out to your listeners.
Very good. Very good, Mr. Day. Again, thank you so much for your time. And this is Prashant Kumar from My Realty Gains talking to Mr. Day today about privacy trust and, you know, equity stripping company, how one should protect their assets, including the privacy. This was valuable episode. I'm pretty sure this would be helpful to a lot of our listeners. Thank you so much again, sir.
Prashant, thank you. Your podcast always is great. And thank you. I know I'm a little bit different than your normal presenter. So thank you for having me on.
It is actually good. I mean, we want to tell them what could go wrong, how should they protect themselves, rather than just telling them that, you know, we are going to make them money and stuff like that. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. As usual, you can reach me via my website, www.myrealtygains.com, and via email, prashant@myrealtygains.com. I would love to hear from you and talk to you about specific needs you may have. Please schedule an appointment with me via my website, again, www.myrealtygains.com. Stay tuned for next podcast. This is Prashant Kumar signing off for today.